Welcome to Prep Sports Now. Once again, I'm Case Kiefer with Ray Brewer here to preview the week. Well, actually, I don't even know what week it is. It seems like we're getting pretty late into the season. Usually we come on here and talk about all the great games from the week before, but to be honest, there weren't a lot of great games last week. Not the most competitive weekend, Ray. What do you take away from last weekend here?
Well, like you said, I was all geared up. I'm thinking Palo Verde against Cheyenne. You know, maybe Chi-Town. They always come to play against Palo Verde. They keep it close. Desert Oasis against Gorman. Okay, Gorman is, you know, the class of the state, and that division is an absolute joke. But Desert Oasis kept it close against them last year for a little bit, and Desert Oasis is kind of like the anointed second-best team in that league, so I think they'd keep it close. Finals combined 105-6. Gorman was playing its fifth-grade team there in the fourth quarter. Just rock and rolled. Very impressive. I was at both games, and the one thing I take out of it, Case, is I think everybody in town wants to see Gorman, Palo. Fourth straight year they've met in the playoffs. I think it's all but guaranteed they're going to meet in the Sunset Finals, which would be over Thanksgiving weekend. That would also be the state semifinals. And as we saw Friday night, just two elite teams that are head and shoulders better than everybody else.
Right, and I don't think it stops with Gorman and Palo even. Other elite teams we're seeing do the same thing. Las Vegas High in their division. Like you said, I think they've had 3 points scored against them all year. Even a game over in the Southeast we thought was going to be really good with Basic and Liberty. Close for the first half, but Liberty breaks out and wins 42-7.
Exactly. And, you know, I just hope that the playoffs aren't as lopsided as the regular season, because oftentimes this 56-6 is the norm. And it's not fun, and you know it screams. And I know I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but can we get a 3A league with more than Boulder, Moapa, and Virgin Valley? I mean, should Gorman have to play Pahrump? How embarrassing! You know, should Vegas have to play Sunrise Mountain? I mean, the worst thing that's going to happen is somebody on one of the two teams is going to get hurt. Either, you know, a big powerful. I mean, you should have seen Gorman, dude. Gorman is so big. Ronnie Stanley. Dude, when he stands up and it's still light out, he shadows over people. That's Gorman's monstrous junior offensive lineman. When Gorman's line lined up against Desert Oasis's line, honest to God, it was like the Dallas Cowboys lining up against the Chaparral Cowboys. They're that much bigger and stronger than everybody else, and we just need a 3A league. People are going to get hurt, you know, or a Gorman player – you know, is going to get injured, you know, trying, you know, because some kid doesn't know how to tackle on the other team and he's just throwing his body, his knees or something. And it for me, it just, this is like, in my humble opinion, and I'm just one man, this has been like the worst year for high school football in town. I mean, it's not even funny. It's like, all right, well, it's 9:15. Who wants to call Darwin Ross? What was the score tonight, coach? Well, it got over about an hour ago. We had the running clock after 3 minutes. We were up 45-0. Brandon Wright with 5 touchdowns before the other team got off the bus. And it's like that with Vegas, with Gorman. And I don't know. I've gone on too long, Case.
Well, there you go. I think I don't know if I agree with you. Obviously, I haven't been around forever, but I don't know if it could be the worst year. There's been some good games. The Southeast specifically has been great. But I think I do agree with you that it doesn't look like Gorman is going to be challenged until they meet Palo. I just don't see any of these teams being able to stay within 4 touchdowns of them. It just seems implausible.
Yeah, Gorman plays Western this week, which back when Western had like Ronnie Palo, Philip Payne, Lawrence Guy, you know, three guys that'll likely end up in the National Football League. That's where you receive a check to play. That was a semi-competitive game. Now, you know, Western gives up 50 to Clark. What's going to happen against Gorman? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I hear you. One thing we can talk about, though, that will be kind of intriguing is who gets the right to get absolutely slaughtered by Gorman in the first round of the playoffs, because the middle of that Northwest division is one of the intriguing storylines so far this year. Looks like Palo, like we said, way above everyone else. Arborview also undefeated, so you can pretty much punch their ticket to the playoffs. I mean, they've all but clinched. But then you look beyond that, you've got Cimarron at 2-2, Centennial at 2-2, Legacy at 2-2, and Cheyenne and Faith Lutheran at 1-2. Any of those five teams can grab those last two playoff spots. Ray, you've seen some of these teams at least. Who do you like in this division?
You know, as bad as Cheyenne looked against Palo Verde, and I couldn't. Here's the thing: they've got two good players in Counts and Spites, and it's like the week before against Faith Lutheran, the Spites kid rushes for 200 yards. The Counts kid scores four touchdowns. You know, against Palo Verde, they combine for like 11 rush attempts. How about we break away from what we're doing for our biggest game of the year? I couldn't figure it out. And I still think Cheyenne, with those two elite players, are better than any team out there. And Cheyenne plays Arborview this week. Arborview's undefeated. Cheyenne's fighting for its playoff life. I think Cheyenne cruises to a win in that game. You know, Arborview to me is a great story. You know, they're undefeated. They're winning close ball games, and they're full of confidence. They just don't have the athleticism and the speed of Cheyenne. And I think once Cheyenne gets to the corners, you know, it's off to the track races. And that shows you the parity of that league right now. Usually when we talk about the Northwest, we have it's so competitive that everybody's beating each other up. Well, this year it's like you could flip a coin to figure out who's going to win every week, you know. Shadow Ridge is still bad, but they're competitive. Centennial, Legacy, you name the whole list of them. And Cimarron, my man Gerard Martinez, who I think is a great quarterback. So it's going to be fun coming down the home stretch in that league to see who makes the playoffs, because each game's going to matter down to the end.
Right, Cimarron was kind of in the driver's seat to reach the playoffs if they would have beat Legacy last week. Legacy is kind of having a down year, but Legacy gets back in the race by beating them, and now Cimarron really can't afford to lose 2 weeks in a row. They're taking on Centennial at home, which should be. I actually haven't seen either team, but from looking at their stats, from knowing their players from last year, Centennial at least, I don't know any of the Cimarron team. I mean, it should be a really good game.
It should be, and, you know, Cimarron, Christian Brown, he's a horse. 300 yards rushing against Faith Lutheran. Clearly their best player on both sides of the ball. And a Centennial team that's kind of underachieved the last few years. They play great defense. Remember, they lost 21-0 to Palo Verde 3 weeks ago. Palo only had 7 points in the first half, right? They gift-wrapped the game to Arborview and losing 31-19. And Centennial, you know, I like the Jacoby Owens kid. He's been a great rusher. You know they got Taj Cole. You know they got Willie White. Their quarterback, you know, is as good as any other quarterback probably in that league. Not that he's great. I mean, the Patero kid's head and shoulders. But other than that, he organizes it well. But when you play defense as good as Centennial does, maybe Centennial's that team that could emerge and get to 3 in that league. Like I said, we're breaking down the third and fourth spot in the Northwest, folks. I know it's a real interesting week. You look at the schedule, not much is going on. Kiefer's going to be at the Foothill Silverado game. Foothill's a team who needed that kind of like marquee win. They were 5-0 entering last week, and then they beat Del Sol, and they just didn't beat Del Sol, Case. They beat them convincingly. You look at that league, you've seen Liberty and Basic like 12 times each, right? Silverado, we know, has good players. They're just not piecing it together. And, you know, Del Sol's a perennial power. Where does Foothill fit in? Are they at the upper echelon of the league now?
You know, I haven't seen Foothill yet, but I got to think that they're probably in the power rankings, at least the second-best team behind Liberty. But I will say two things worry me about Foothill. First of all, they had all these easy games that we talked about to begin the year. Now they're in October, and I think they have 4 straight games where they're playing the best teams in the Southeast. How hard is that to go week after week? You get Basic, Silverado, Liberty, Del Sol, they beat 42-10, so obviously that doesn't apply. But that's one thing that worries me. The second thing that worries me about this game is I'm taking Foothill. I think they'll beat Silverado, but Silverado has an awfully good defense, and if they can just shut down Foothill, you know, just enough to make a play there at the end, I think Silverado has a chance. And you know they're desperate for a win. They don't want 3 losses in the Southeast.
Yeah, I think Silverado's thrown like 11 interceptions, Case, in 5 or 6 games. And I just think that they're trying to go from being a run-dominated team to a more balanced team. And to do the balance act, they're throwing way too much. You know, Silverado's got a bigger line than a lot of teams they're going to face. Why don't you line up, pound the ball a little bit, set up the pass? I just think the 11 interceptions this year, whatever the number is, it's definitely close to double digits. way too much. You know, the Kyle Kepinger kid for Foothill is a, you know, elite player at wide receiver, only a junior. We all know about Connor Afoa. He's, you know, a great safety, great running back. And the Parker Riggin kid, I've been saying it, Kiefer, since day one. There's a reason why they beat Vegas last year in the playoffs. The kid had a great game. He's a year older now. He's really throwing the ball around. Foothill 6-0. They used to be a power back in the day. They opened in 99, and they went like 4 years or something where they won the league every year. So nice to see kind of Foothill, you know, having a good year. Again, they lose to Silverado. All that, I guess, is canceled out, right?
I don't know if it's all canceled out. I mean, they'll still be in the playoff race, but obviously, best case scenario for Foothill is they beat Silverado, beat Basic, and go undefeated into this Liberty game, and it'll be gigantic for the league. That's what they want, obviously.
That's what I want as well. I mean, that's the game everybody wants to see. I did the top 10 poll this week, the rankings. I had a hard time filling it out. Like, who do you put in there? Everybody's losing.
You mean the finish? I mean, I think the top four at least are pretty obvious.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer. But, you know, after Gorman, Paolo, Vegas, Liberty, you know, Foothill at five, and then it's kind of like you're throwing it in the wind. Somehow I had Desert Oasis and Cheyenne in the poll last week, and they embarrassed me. And, you know, the thing that kind of stood out for me is it's like, you know, you played high school football, and you lost a game or two, right, Kiefer?
Yep.
After a loss, were you just like end of the world devastated, or did you get on with yourself and get to the Applebee's?
Get to the Applebee's. I actually did go to Applebee's after a couple of games. Did you know? There's one right close to our school. Get those boneless buffalo wings, you know. But anyway, yeah. I mean, you are pretty devastated, but I think this is where coaching really comes into play. You need a good coach that's going to have you focus the next week, and I think most of the programs here have that. There's a couple maybe that don't. I'm not around every program every day, but I like a lot of these teams to bounce back. As far as ranking them 6-10, I mean, there's so many teams that seem about the same. I guess you just need to draw straws or something next week.
Yeah, and my point was is that, you know, Desert Oasis actually has a pretty good little staff. Doug Thornhill calls a lot of the shots. He used to be Silverado's head coach. You know, Ferentz Seibel's done a tremendous job, and you know, Desert Oasis kept it close against Gorman in the first quarter, only trailed 7-6. But, you know, as the game wore on, and, you know, Gorman just physically dominated them and, you know, took control of the game. Next thing you know, it's 56-6. You know, I didn't get from the Gorman, the Desert Oasis kids, that they were all that shocked or disappointed. You know, they were just happy to be there playing, which is cool if you're, you know, not the second best team in that league. I just thought that maybe the kids would be a little more heartbroken over the loss, and to me, they kind of—I got the feeling that they kind of just sensed it was coming, and that everybody, when they play Gorman or Palo or Vegas, they sense a loss is coming. You know, so.
Well, the best news for Desert Oasis is, even if they did get beat that bad, they have a short week. They don't have to practice as much, and I don't think they need to practice as much because they have Pahrump Valley on Thursday, and the line is Desert Oasis -48.
Ooh, I'll take the 48. Let me ask you this question. Before the Desert Oasis game, they got, you know how everybody gets in the circle now and somebody gets in the middle and yells and everybody gets all fired up? Well, they did the We Ready chant, my favorite one. We Ready.
That's really catching on.
What do you like more, the We Ready or the Haka dance before the game?
Okay, I got to say, I like the Haka dance if it's Liberty, if it's someone else, if it's, you know, I don't know who else doing it now, but say Arborview's doing the Haka dance. I'm just not buying it. But if it's Liberty, I'll take the Haka dance. If not, I'll take your We Ready. But really, I mean, I like something more unique, like maybe the drum line walking Paolo in. You know how much I love Paolo, and I love when they do that. That's probably top of my list.
See, the Durango actually did the Haka before they played Basic, and it was kind of weird because, like, Durango's got, like, one Polynesian coach and one Polynesian player, and then a kid, like, named Ramirez leading the Haka dance. Do you have to have a Polynesian-based team to do that?
I think so. I think to pull it off, at least, to make it look authentic.
Yeah. Like, Liberty, you got all those guys with the puffy hair coming out of the back of their helmet, and they just look like they're on the way to a luau, and in between they're going to chase down Vince Carducci and tackle him to the ground?
Exactly, and I mean, it looks like it's in their nature. It looks like they're programmed to do this. I mean, they've probably done it a million times in their life, these other kids not buying it. But anyway, why don't we get on to the games this week? We talked about Pahrump and Desert Oasis, one of two Thursday games. The next Thursday game, actually somewhat intriguing, Bonanza and Spring Valley, most likely for the fourth playoff spot in the Southwest. Really, both these teams have scored a lot and gotten scored on a lot. Who do you like?
I just can't look past Bonanza giving up 75 or more points in back-to-back weeks. Give me Spring Valley.
On to the Southeast for three games. First one, Del Sol at Coronado. Don't look now, but Del Sol is in last in this division. They're 0-2, even Coronado ahead of them at 1-2.
I think Del Sol gets back on track, and I still like them to sneak into the playoffs as the four. And I know Vegas doesn't want to play Del Sol in the playoffs.
How are they going to sneak into the playoffs as four when you guaranteed me earlier this year Silverado was going to be in? Silverado's going to have to be the four, right?
Well, somebody's not making it. What about Basic not making it?
Basic beat Silverado. They got a leg up.
Well, they lost to Coronado, though. Come on, they're going to lose to Foothill. They're going to lose to Del Sol. They're done.
I think
turn the helmets in, baby. You're done.
I think they'll lose to Foothill, but I think they can definitely beat Del Sol.
I think it goes Liberty, Foothill, Silverado, Del Sol. Out, Coronado. Out, Green Valley. Out,
Silverado Bayfield. Three? Oh, yeah. What you can't see right now is that Ray Brewer has a Randall Cunningham jersey signed. Anyway, well, next we'll keep with the Southeast. Foothill going to Silverado. We talked about this a little bit, but Ray, let's get your pick.
You got to like Foothill. I mean, even though I just picked Silverado to finish third in the league, Foothill's undefeated and unchallenged. And Silverado, if they keep throwing those picks, man, I can't figure it out. You can't throw a pick six against Coronado in the fourth quarter.
I like Foothill as well and agree. Silverado, just too many turnovers, even though Ray thinks that they're going to beat Bishop Gorman in the state championship.
I didn't say that.
Anyway, next, Liberty and Green Valley. Green Valley went to Moapa one last week. I know not really a big deal because Moapa's a much smaller school than them, but we both expected them to lose.
Yeah, and for whatever it's worth, Green Valley's got two dynamic athletes in the Rakeem Griffith and Aaron Love kid. And if their offense is clicking, it could be, you know, problematic for Liberty. I think Ryan Lopez is very underrated, by the way. He hammered home that two-point conversion for him against Moapa. I just if you line the rosters next to each other and you look at the size of the players from Liberty and Green Valley, you like Liberty. And you realize one of those kids is Sam Tye, who is a beast with a capital B, baby. Give me Green Valley. I mean, give me Liberty.
I'll take Liberty, too. I think you make a good point, though. I do really like what Green Valley does. Offensively, pretty much every time they run the ball, it's Love or Griffin. Those two guys really run the offense. And without naming any names, I think there's some teams around the Valley that rely too much on giving 10 different guys the ball. When you have two guys like that, make them your offense run through them. Next, we'll go over to the Northeast, Canyon Springs and El Dorado. Canyon Springs, probably going to roll here.
I think Canyon Springs is going to win. I think roll might be a little too much. I think El Dorado, just because of Ja'Cory Williams, is a good team. And El Dorado's beaten everybody they should. And this is a game. They've got to win, like, two of their final four to get in the playoffs. So this would be cherry because they play Shap and they play who knows who else.
Rancho.
Yeah, I think the Rancho game would kind of be kind of like a play-in game for the playoffs. El Dorado's better than you think. They're not as good as Canyon Springs. I like the Pioneers.
I think your boys might have a chance this week. Shap at Valley and Valley's homecoming game, but you're already grimacing at me. I know you picked against them. You think Shap has a chance?
Case, Shap is having a bad year, brother. I watched him for a half against Canyon Springs, and I almost vomited in my mouth walking in the car. I was so depressed. So,
but they have a great wide receiver, right?
They have the best wide receiver in town in Torque Williams. And I know people are going to say, well, the kid doesn't play for Gorman. Or this kid is legit. Nice body, good hands. If I could start the Torque Williams, and I don't even know how to spell the kid's first name, if I could start a fan club for him, I'm in.
There you go. I mean, I think I think this could go either way. I think both teams haven't shown much this year. On to Rancho and Desert Pines. It's Desert Pines homecoming. They've won two in a row.
This is a big game. You know, in a week of games that have no real interest, I think we've got two real evenly matched teams. I like Desert Pines' ability to run the ball, and they've got a little confidence in that division just because of the success they've had. Two teams that kind of look the same in terms of size of the program, size of the athlete, and results. I think it's another coin flip game, and I'm taking DP.
From a coin flip to an absolute, well, not a coin flip at least, Sunrise Mountain at Las Vegas. this one should get ugly.
It could get if Vegas wanted to score 100 points, they could. And I mean, the Sunrise Mountain team just it doesn't have enough players in the program. They're not big. They're not strong. They're not, you know, physical. They don't have enough of anything. And Vegas is Vegas. And these two teams should not be playing. Sunrise Mountain should not have been created taking kids from El Dorado, Mojave, and Desert Pines and thrown into the same league as Vegas. Should have been thrown into the league with Boulder City, Moapa Valley, Virgin Valley. But who am I?
Agreed. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think in Southwest play this year, Durango has got to be averaging like 56, 60 points, something ridiculous. How much are they going to score on Sierra Vista this weekend?
League is bad right now. It screams for – we could talk until we're blue in the face about getting a 3A, Kiefer, but it's embarrassing. I mean, Sierra Vista is so bad right now. They cannot recover. See, what happened – let me give you a little history lesson here, son. Las Vegas, fastest growing city in the nation. People are moving in here left and right. The housing market's, you know, booming. Every house, it's a great place to live. Housing market dies, people are moving out. Well, what do you know? All these schools were built to accommodate all the houses. You know, Sunrise Mountain gutted El Dorado, Desert Oasis gutted Sierra Vista. Now the schools don't have enough to feed for themselves. And the result is what you're going to see Durango do to Sierra Vista. A Durango team that is not as good as their 60 to whatever wins indicate are going to win 60 to whatever. And hopefully we can get a hold of the coach afterwards. That's all I got.
There you go. I think Julio Morris scored 6 touchdowns last week. Kind of ridiculous. I guess we'll find out if you're a good salesman. How do you sell someone on watching this Gorman at Western blowout?
I tell you what. First of all, I like Western's baby blue uniforms. With like red, it's really a good uniform.
I like it too.
And even if Lawrence Guy came back from Arizona and Ronnie Paulo and Phil Payne came over from UNLV, I still think Goldman would win by whatever they wanted to. You know, let's just hope nobody gets hurt on either team. That's what I'm rooting for this week. No injuries, baby.
There you go. Our review at Cheyenne. We touched on it a little bit, but big game for making the playoffs for Cheyenne. They need to win this one.
They do. And listen. Arborview's undefeated, and, you know, the Donnie Gaskin kid's only a sophomore, and I like the way he runs the ball with the intensity. And, you know, Arborview hasn't broke this year, you know. Granted, they've only got really one game that kind of stands out as maybe a good win, but I just think Cheyenne is a better team.
There you go. Centennial and Cimarron, we talked about this too, but who's your final pick? You going with Cimarron?
Am I going with Cimarron?
Yeah, sorry. Are you going with Cimarron?
I don't know. I can't remember who I picked in our picks in this game because they're so evenly matched. Just talking off the top of my head, I like the dogs, the Bulldogs. Give me Jacoby Owens because I love that name, Jacoby.
I'm pretty sure in the picks you picked Cimarron, but I like Centennial too. So, hey, you can't be wrong.
I covered myself.
Yeah,
fellas.
Yeah, either way, you got it. And another game that I'm sure we're going to love to talk about, Mojave and Faith Lutheran. Name your score for Faith Lutheran.
Name your score for Faith Lutheran every week against Mojave.
Well, it just keeps getting better. Shadow Ridge and Palo Verde.
Well, at least it's homecoming, so the kids could go get their nails done or whatever ahead of time. The girls, the cheerleaders, not the football players.
Not Darwin?
Darwin's not going to get his nails done. Here's what's going to happen. They'll ask Darwin to chaperone the dance, and he'll be sitting there breaking down film in the janitor's closet.
There you go. Great visual. On to Virgin Valley and Boulder City. Huge game because it's one of, what, 3 games these guys have in their own league.
One of two games they have in the 3A.
So whoever wins between Boulder City and Virgin Valley, huge leg up. It's in Boulder City. So, you know, maybe the town will be rocking in Boulder City. Probably going to need some support because Virgin Valley's looked awful good this year.
I think Virgin Valley wins by 4 touchdowns. Kiefer, could you imagine how screwed up this state is? The 3A's got 3 teams. They play 2 league games each. We can't get confirmation, folks, if the winner automatically advances to the state semifinals of this game. We don't know how it's going to work, but you got to have 4 teams to make state, and there's only 3 in the South, so who knows? And then we got a 4A with Sunrise Mountain, Pahrump Valley, Western, Shap Valley that are so bad and don't have enough kids to play. It just doesn't make any sense. The 3A is garbage. The teams, the kids deserve better fate in these small towns. And until somebody does something, it's an embarrassment. Shame on whoever decided to keep it like this.
There you have it. I think this is actually kind of an intriguing game we haven't talked about. A non-divisional tilt between Basic and Legacy. At Legacy, Basic is coming off of that just kind of beating they took at Silverado. Legacy is coming off probably the biggest win of the season at Cimarron. What can we see in this game?
Okay, well, if I tell you that Legacy, no matter how bad they've been this year because of all the graduations, is more athletic than Basic, people are going to get mad at me because I hate Basic, right? Here's right. What I will tell you. There will be more Basic fans in the crowd than Legacy fans, and that says a lot considering Legacy is like a 45-minute drive from Old Henderson. So I took Basic in the game, even though, you know, they're not going to be – Basic needs to win this game. It's a non-league game, but after the way they looked late in that game against Liberty, I mean, the book's out on them. You want to beat Basic, send the kitchen sink and blitz them because that's – you know, they just cannot pass protect for that kid.
I think the Basic people are going to be even more mad than you calling them unathletic are going to be mad that you picked them. Is this only the second time this year you picked them? And do we all remember what happened last time Brewer picked Basic? Beat by Coronado. And certainly I think that Legacy is a better team than Coronado.
Obviously.
Last game, Moapa Valley at Clark. This would be another great game in our proposed 3A league because Clark is looking a lot better this year. Moapa's record isn't too good, but they're competitive. They got some good athletes. Anyway, Clark can pull the upset at home.
I doubt it, but here's the bottom line. I don't think Moapa Valley cares because, you know, their whole season revolves around two games. So whoever wins, wins. I took Moapa Valley, though. I've come real bitter today, and I apologize to our loyal listeners, the folks that are downloading this podcast. But it just is embarrassing when you sit and we call, you know, we split the games down the tilt and we call everybody on Friday night and it's like, yeah, we won 77-0. We won 50-0. They didn't have a JV team, so we had to bring up some of our JV kids. Oh, and this kid, he's a 13-year-old freshman. He had 8 touchdowns. And it's just like every week, dude, it's so sickening to listen to. You know, it's like the New York Yankees playing the
Las Vegas 51.
Not even. I was going to go one step lower. It's it's like the Yankees playing the – give me your favorite double A or single A baseball team.
Some Gulf Coast League team.
The Gulf Coast Astros are visiting Yankee Stadium today. And they're throwing some kid they drafted in the 50th round out of Saudi Arabia, you know, a non-baseball. It just doesn't make sense, bro. And you know, listen, Gorman and Paolo are great, fun to watch. Vegas is good. Liberty is good. Foothill's going to be good. That's it. You know, God bless the kids for trying.
I think that's what we got to go out on. Prep Sports Now. Thanks for listening.